Wisconsin was front and center in the world of politics for the majority of the past year. There were a lot of visits by presidential candidates to the state, new legislative maps, and of course, an election. Joining us now to help sum up the political whirlwind of 2024 is WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Alex.
Okay, so the biggest story we have to talk about from this past year, obviously, is the presidential election. I want to talk about how Wisconsinites turned out to the polls. President-elect Donald Trump won the state of Wisconsin, where President Joe Biden won in 2020. Can you help us break down where we saw some of these shifts that helped President-elect Trump get the state?
So when it comes to Trump's numbers, I wouldn't say that you would look at it and say there were major shifts where a certain pocket of the state that hadn't supported him before did, or vice versa. I think what happened is that he just outperformed what he had done in the past. It was still the same Trump model where he had huge turnout in rural counties and smaller counties across the state. He just ratcheted that up. You know, Kamala Harris actually got better numbers than Joe Biden did in 46 counties. It's just that Trump did better than his 2020 numbers in all 72 counties. He outperformed his own 2020 numbers, Trump did, by more than 87,000 votes. And so that was enough to carry him over the finish line. I mean, it felt like a commanding win because of the size of the vote that he got, but it was still within 1% because this is Wisconsin.
Sean, Wisconsin is often thought of as a purple state. Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat, was reelected to the U.S. Senate. How did that end up happening?
It is a real nice snapshot of purple Wisconsin when you can have two very different candidates win on the statewide level. And I think, you know, partly it's because these elections are so close. When it's within one percentage point, a few votes either way can make the difference. I think you start with Tammy Baldwin being a formidable candidate, and she received about 4,500 more votes than did Kamala Harris, outperformed Harris in 57 counties. So typically you see the presidential candidate kind of lead the way in terms of getting votes. That was not the case with Tammy Baldwin, who still has, you know, some support in these rural counties, even as they've gone very strongly Republican over the years. And then you look at her opponent, Eric Hovde. He received about 54,000 fewer votes than did Donald Trump. Donald Trump outperformed Eric Hovde in 70 counties. You kind of add that up and you end up with a narrow Tammy Baldwin victory at the same time you had the Trump victory in the presidential race.
The Republican National Convention was hosted this past year in Milwaukee. You were there. Can you tell us a little bit about the energy and the feel when you were there?
So much happened this year that it kind of helps to look back at what was the state of play in the summer right before this convention was going to be hosted. Remember, this was coming off of President Joe Biden's poor debate performance, in which he had, at this moment in time, Democrats lobbying him to get out of the presidential race. He was still in it when the convention happened in Milwaukee. And then the weekend before the convention, there was an assassination attempt on TV of President-elect Trump where a bullet grazed his ear. And so Trump goes into this convention. First, there were some open questions about, well, is this going to go forward? What's it going to be like? The convention did happen. It was a very secure environment, just given all the miles of fencing and police all over the place. But the Republican Party really rallied around him at this convention. Some people were talking about him in biblical terms. And coming out of the convention, the conventional wisdom was there's no way Trump can lose this election. And then Kamala Harris gets in the election and she has her convention in Chicago. And there was a conventional wisdom coming out of that, that there's no way that Harris can lose. So it was just one of those years where so much happened of great consequence. And in the end, it was Trump who came out on top.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of things of great consequence happening. Let's break it down a little more at the state level, because you know, we've all been focused on this presidential election, but a lot happened at the state level as well, especially new legislative maps going into effect and Democrats making a push for that. Tell us a bit about those maps and how it shaped this past year's elections.
It was really a seismic change in Wisconsin politics because we've been operating under roughly the same maps since 2011, when Republicans took control of state government after the census and drew maps that helped grow and cement their power for more than a decade. Well, in 2023, we got a new state Supreme Court. They overturned the existing GOP maps and said, Governor and legislature, if you don't draw new maps, we are going to take over for you. And I think to a lot of people's surprise, Democratic Governor Tony Evers and the Republican legislature did in fact agree on new maps that were drawn by Evers. The calculation among Republicans was that these were kind of their best option among the potential options that were before the court, that they felt like they could compete under these maps. And they did. If you look at the assembly races in a map, Republican candidates for the assembly won 54. So not a massive majority like they had before of 64 seats, but they still have a 54-seat majority in the assembly. In the Senate, Democrats had kind of a best-case scenario election. They flipped 4 seats. That sets them up very well for the 2026 election when they would have a chance to flip that chamber.
And you would think with Wisconsin just having this fight over new political maps, hosting a couple of national conventions, that things would be calming down a little bit in state politics. That is not the case. There is always a next big election in Wisconsin. What are we looking forward to in 2025, Sean?
It is the next most important election of your lifetime, as you kind of alluded to there, Alex, and it is the state Supreme Court election, and not just any state Supreme Court election, but another election that will determine the ideological balance of the court, which is now a 4-3 liberal majority, but one of the liberal justices, Ann Walsh Bradley, is retiring, so we have an open seat, and whoever wins that seat will decide whether the court is 4-3 liberal or 4-3 conservative. That's huge, as you have issues ranging from abortion to the Act 10 collective bargaining law coming before the court. And then once that election is over, we head to the 2026 midterms, where there will be another race for governor. And the legislature, the full legislature, will be up for grabs. So the stakes of the next 2 years are huge, even as we get past this massive presidential election.
WPR's Sean Johnson, it's been a very busy year in Wisconsin politics. Thanks for staying up on everything and for keeping us informed. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.